A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also direct message us at the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, since our text page is a little bit pokey this morning. We do have David who wants to know, Ton, he's wondering about how pawpaw trees might do in the Willard area on the bench.
They can do okay. They may suffer from iron chlorosis, and so that's something to keep in mind to if they start to get yellowing leaves and things. They're not a super common crop, but there are people around growing them.
Okay. Brian is calling from Fruit Heights. Good morning, Brian. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. We've got a question about, we've got some clover mite problems for the past two springs on the north, south, and west side of our home. And we're wondering what we can do to prevent that this year.
So do you have alfalfa fields around you?
We do not.
Okay. Or any clover or anything along those lines?
Just surrounded by homes. Yeah.
Just surrounded by homes. So no clover or anything along those lines?
No.
Okay. So they get into the home because there's probably areas in the foundation or around windows and doors that they can get in and go through. I'm assuming you have them in your house also.
Oh, yes.
Okay. They especially get in the fall when the weather really starts to turn. And so the good news is they're not inherently harmful. Sometimes people can be allergic to them or something, and so your allergy symptoms may increase, but they are not like spreading any diseases or anything either. So keep that in mind. The best way to prevent them is to have a strip about 18 to 24 inches wide around your front foundation that's cleared and might even be covered with just bare soil or pea gravel. And you want to focus on things that aren't maybe too attractive to the mites. And so chrysanthemums, marigolds, petunias, salvia, zinnias are not super attractive. USU has a fact sheet on clover mites, by the way, that you can download. And that way they're going to be less likely to come close to the house because you're growing things that aren't attractive to them. So, man, there's really not much you can spray, because it used to be that diazinon would knock them out, but diazinon is off the market for a lot of different reasons. And so keeping a wider area from the house to your lawn is something else you can do, but there's not really, you know, a lot. Now, you could try some indoor insecticides containing some of the pyrethroids, or permethrin, bifren, cyfluthrin. There's many of them out there if you're finding them congregating in areas that are, you know, there's more in areas than others. But I think your longer term goal is to make sure that the house is sealed up and that you're growing things around the foundation that isn't too attractive to them.
Okay, great. I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and if you do find a lot of them, and you can, I mean, you could try a shop vac or something with a good filter on it so they didn't break through it, but you could try vacuuming them up too.
Okay, good advice.
Okay,
thank you
sorry,
so much.
And download that fact sheet from USU. Just Google USU and clover mites.
Okay, perfect. I'll do that today. Thank
great.
You.
Thanks for your call this morning. Rick and Sandy is wondering what shrubs he can use to block sound from a busy road. He's hoping they'll get 8 to 12 feet tall, and the soil is sandy, and they will be in full sun.
Well, there are many options. Mm-hmm. Anything from lilacs to privets to Rose of Sharon. There's a lot of the viburnums. Maybe one that he could try is leatherleaf viburnum, because it tends to hold its leaves through the winter. Mm-hmm. They don't look the spiffiest, you know, through the winter, but they hold on to them for a longer period of time. So they will provide some additional privacy. So there's a few different close related species to leatherleaf viburnum. But that one is one of these that's a utilitarian plant. It grows in clay soil. It grows in sandy soil. As long as it gets water, it's pretty happy. It will flower in the spring. It's not quite as showy as some of the other viburnums. But if you need a utilitarian plant, that is one that it will put up with a lot of different things.
Yeah, and where he wants to block sound, it's going to be not something that's seasonal.
Yeah, and so the sound is still going to come through, but it will just be diminished.
All right, let's take our next caller. That would be Matt in American Fork. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, I've got a question about trees. I'm in a new development where my house is only about 30 feet from my neighbor's, and if you look out of our windows, we're oftentimes staring directly into each other's homes. So I'm looking for a tree that maybe isn't going to get a lot taller than 12 to 15 feet that would do well, maybe, you know, very full to for privacy.
And Trump sent the disparaging.
We have goblins and ghosts in our system today. So did you say that you had sun or shade in that location?
It's probably only get 4 to 5 hours of sun a day.
Okay,
it's on
morning,
the eastern side of the
eastern
house.
Side. So you could try a Japanese maple.
Okay.
That would be one of the better ones. Or sometimes some of the red buds, there's some weeping red buds that don't get super huge that are becoming more common. But, you know, something even like a blood good Japanese maple eventually will give it up to 20, but it would be a long time. And you could find some that will grow smaller. Now, be aware that if you do a Japanese maple, that they still are a bit touchy. And you need to go in knowing that it may go down, you know, just because Japanese maple's here. But it would fit the bill as far as what you're looking for. Otherwise, if you want something quite dense, a regular English laurel or what's called a skipka laurel would fit the bill. And those are evergreen and nothing. Well, you'll see nothing through those.
Okay. Okay, that's great. Hey, one other question. On that side of the house where it's not going to get a lot of sun, would raspberries grow well over there?
Not really. You need more sun for them. People are like, shade vegetable gardening, it's just a thing that isn't really possible.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning. Nathan is wondering what your thoughts are on getting soil tests done on lawns, when and how often should they be done?
Anytime, and every 3 to 4 years if you're going to keep up on it. What I would do, there's a few different ways to go about this. You can either get a shovel and split the lawn open and just scrape, you know, a quarter of a cup of soil from 8 or 9 different places. You can use a bulb auger. Those you'll have to refill the holes you made. But you want to collect samples from about 3 to 6 inches down from several locations and then gather those together and mix them up. And then BYU and USU both have soil labs that will test. Now, USU's, I'm a little more familiar with, it's called the routine test. And it'll tell you a soil texture. It will tell you the salinity. And then if you're short on phosphorus or potassium, which 95% of the time is all you need.
All right. Rick did have a follow-up question on your answer to the shrubs that block sound. He was wondering if there are any that are evergreen that are 10 to 12 feet tall for full sun.
Not that it will tolerate full sun here. 70% of the time you try shade evergreen shrubs in full sun. And I'm talking like those skip laurels I mentioned earlier or photinia. During the winter, they scorch. And so if they wanted to try something, the only one that I would be, and I say this with some air quotes, comfortable recommending would be pyracantha. And that's a thorny bugger, but it does tolerate full sun. But if you ever throw a football or a baseball into pyracantha, you just leave it.
Nasty. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I've come across those. They are, you know, they're great if you want to keep people out. That's all I'm going to say.
They are.
And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can direct message us this morning on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. In our final minutes of the show, the number to call 801-575-8255. And Ton, thanks so much for putting up that on our KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, the fact sheet on which things they can start now, which crops they can start now. We've had a couple of comments on that already. One of the comments, though, the person says that they have a, this looks like a high tunnel greenhouse, that they say when it gets warmer, it starts to develop little insects or bugs in there, and they're trying to eat the plants. Is there something that they can spray in there that is not chemical harmful to the plants?
Well, a lot depends on why they're there. Hmm. And so if they have a cold frame with dirt floors, or if they have dirt,
they have
or
a
soil,
rock type floor, mm-hmm.
Then a lot of times if they're growing things in there year round, those insects are overwintering on what's in there and then spreading to the vegetables. Mm. And so when you have a greenhouse, sanitation is so important. You know, and I've helped at a couple different gels with their greenhouses. The biggest source of insect pests were deputies bringing in their pet plants. And then you would get contamination into your vegetables. And so we wouldn't allow that unless it was the jail captain. And so that's something to be aware of, is they really need to make sure that anything in there is pest free. Now with the gravel down there, they may need to get the gravel. And if it's not too big.
No, they're big stones.
Okay.
A rock patio thing.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you have soil, there's a potential for things to overwinter in the soil. And so that's always a problem. And then worst case scenario, and I don't recommend this very often, but if it looks like you're going to lose everything, you can use a systemic on your vegetables. And there's oftentimes like a 60-day wait, though, before you can harvest. So it works for things like watermelons and peppers and tomatoes. But if it's greens, you're just had. And so I think the sanitation is just going to be the most important thing that they can do.
All right. Let's take a call from Amanda. She is in Heber. Good morning, Amanda. What is your question?
Hi there. I have a raspberry patch that's roughly 30 by 8, and it tears down, so that times 2. And I'm thinking about getting rid of that and planting some fruit trees, but it's so overtaken by weeds and then the raspberries mixed in. I just wanted to know what's the best way to get rid of that and start over.
Well, if you have any children that are naughty, what I would actually do is just start getting it cleaned out. Those raspberries can be quite aggressive. And so in this case, I would consider when things start growing in the spring, using a Roundup type product, something containing glyphosate, and just kill it all out. And then you kind of can get a fresh start. Now, do you have bindweed in there?
Yes, a lot.
Okay. So the fruit trees will be a little easier to manage with bindweed underneath than raspberries would be, because you can go in and every couple of weeks just lightly hoe the bindweed out or pull it or whatever you want to do during the growing season. And then in late summer to early fall, you can go in with a glyphosate product again, because that's usually not going to be airborne and it doesn't stay active in the soil. But every fall, and what I would really recommend doing is going to someplace like IFA or Great Basin Turf and getting a product that's going to, like, a spreader sticker. Now, you'll pay a little bit of money, but sometimes you can find a cord or something. But IFA carries a product called Hellfire. Great Basin carries one called PS804 that can enhance the effectiveness of that glyphosate. And so when I've used it in areas, when I've used like a Roundup product alone with either Hellfire or PS804, I can actually get up to a 50 to 60% kill on bindweed, which is excellent using a Roundup type product alone.
Okay, so that makes the glyphosate stick to the bindweed?
And penetrate better. It lowers the pH of the water. It has a surfactant in there to help it penetrate better. And it has oftentimes a spreader sticker that will help it adhere to the plant better.
Okay.
Now, see if you can find even just like a $5 bottle of spreader sticker would be much better than nothing. But if you wanted to invest a little bit more money, you can find sometimes these in a quart or 2 quarts or maybe a gallon. And if you can find a gallon even, they don't usually run more than $30 or $40. You'll just have enough to last for a long time.
Okay. So probably doing raspberries over isn't a good idea because the bindweed
With bindweed in there? Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, you'd have to be in there once a week. You'd have to have it, the bindweed off the surface, and you'd be out there once a week the entire summer picking at all the starts so it didn't just overtake the raspberries.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Okay, perfect. I'll try those things out. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. Just a minute left in the show here, Ton, and we have to answer this question because it's for the best Valentine in our listening audience, apparently. Can you recommend a replacement front yard tree for diseased birch that was removed?
Yes, and I think I'm just going to go back to those same maples, and I will say something that gets about the same size, the Pacific Sunset Maple or Norwegian Sunset Maple.
Your favorites.
Well, they work really well.
Okay. Thank you. Anton, have a happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day
you
to
too.
All of our listeners. This show goes by so quickly. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. You can go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, and you can find more information on the orchids that we talked about at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. And 10 o'clock, we talked about apple and pear pruning. You can find all of those fact sheets. Anton has also put up a fact sheet for you this morning on when to start seedlings. So I hope you enjoy all of those and have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.